reading from the Holy Evangelist of St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' He, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. The Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and in various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Do this, and you will live. The words were true, but there was a problem. The lawyer had asked a rather legitimate question, at least it seemed so on the purpose, if one excuses the rationale for his asking the question for the moment. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answered. In true Jesus fashion, when someone is asking him a question to test him, by turning the question back around and posing it back to the lawyer. And so then the lawyer provides an answer with extreme technical lawyer-like correctness and accuracy. And Jesus affirmed his answer. Do this, and you will live. And what is the this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's where the problems begin to mount up. The lawyer, wanting to justify himself, perhaps feeling that he looked silly asking a question to which he seemed to know the obvious answer, perhaps wanting to try and cover up the fact that he was putting Jesus to the test, or perhaps because the words of Jesus back to him stung just a little bit more than he anticipated, asked another question. No matter the reason, the lawyer couldn't help himself. He did not know enough to keep his mouth shut. No, he determined to make himself look better, and so he spoke, and he asked again. Who is my neighbor? This time, Jesus' response is a bit more elongated. This time, there's a story that is told to the lawyer, and we know that story well, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Perhaps we all know it just a bit too well and have neatly compartmentalized everyone in the story into our own little sheet of who we think everyone is and how we are to understand it. We know the details inside and out. We know that the church folks in the story don't help, and the assumed enemy does. And we also know that at the end of the story comes another stinging question back to the lawyer. The lawyer figures out quickly who the neighbor is. The answer to his question is obvious and perhaps deeply unwanted on his part in that context. But again, he answers correctly, and Jesus affirms the answer and then directs him to go and do likewise. It seems simple, but it's not. The lawyer couldn't go and do likewise, could he? Maybe he had already passed by on the other side far too many times. Maybe there was no sense of mercy within him. He was, after all, a lawyer in a context where lawyers were not exactly viewed favorably. Maybe there were other issues that prevented him from doing likewise. What we can know for certain is this: the lawyer is a sinner, and he could not go and do likewise. He could not do this and live, at least not perfectly, at all times and in all places, without ever failing. The situation for the lawyer is dire. He is beaten down by sin and he cannot fix it. He can't save himself any more than the man beaten alongside the road could save himself. That may seem bad enough until we consider this. The situation from the lawyer is just as bad as our own. We may not have asked the lawyer's questions overtly of Jesus, but perhaps we fought them or some form of them or something similar to them. Maybe we thought that we have gone and done likewise. Maybe some of us have endeavored to do so and hope we've done enough. Maybe some of us are trying to figure out how to justify our question in the first place, or our actions. Maybe some of us, well, fill in the blank for yourself. You know your sin better than I. But all of us are just like the lawyer, lost in our sin. And for us, uniquely in this place, it's just a little bit worse as we read through the story. After all, we have a few similarities to the priest and the Levite in our daily tasks as we come and go from not Jerusalem, but this building, not knowing who we might pass along the way. But we no doubt do pass along the way as we come and go. There probably is someone dying on the side of our path. We do live in the most crime-ridden part of the country right now. So do we pass by, or do we take another path? The answers may vary, as might be questions. We may not even know. But in many and in various ways, our sin does abound around us. Even if our sin is not the same as the sin of the lawyer in testing Jesus or that of the priest and the Levite in not helping the beaten up man, it's still sin. We still stand condemned. We still cannot go and do likewise. We still cannot do this and live. We're dead. Dead in our transgressions. Lost in death in the filth of sin. And yet here's the text in front of us, screaming those words into our ears. We can't do it, but Jesus did do it. He traveled from his heavenly temple into the depths of our degradation and the degradation of our sin-filled world. He left behind the paradise of his Father's throne and came into the hell of our sin, finding us lost and condemned, unable to escape our sin. And he showed us mercy. He took our place in death and in sin. He removed the pain of sin and death, not with a few bandages and a couple denarii left with an innkeeper, but with his death and the shedding of his blood, dying that we might in turn live. He took our sins and their punishments and removed them far from us. He took our damnation and replaced it with his life. He did do this, and because he did, we live. And thus forgiven in him, we can go and do likewise. We can't, as sinners, do anything for ourselves or of ourselves, nor can we save another. Only Jesus can do that, and he has, and he does. But he does show his mercy to others through those to whom he has first shown his mercy. That is to say, through us. Having redeemed us, he does then send us to proclaim the same, not for ourselves, not for our merits, but in thanksgiving and rejoicing for what he has done for us. In our ears, the law of go and do likewise, or do this and live, echoes in a different way. It sounds more like, I have done this for you that you might have life. Now joyfully go and share that joy with others, that they too might live in Christ. The command which first condemns us is now a gracious invitation to us to go forth and bear Christ to others, an invitation to serve, an imperative with the promise that Christ has already done it all. Christ has done it. You are forgiven. You have been shown mercy. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.